Support for Small Wonders on Siouxland Public Media comes from the Daniels Osborne Law Firm in the Ho-Chunk Center in downtown Sioux City, serving needs of clients in real estate transactions, business formation and guidance, and personal estate planning. More information is available on Facebook or at danielsosborne.com.
Buffalo soldiers in the trenches. By the time American troops got to Europe in 1917, African Americans had an established but not celebrated history in military service of our country. In 1862, under the direction of Thomas Wentworth Higginson, the sworn abolitionist and literary heartthrob of Emily Dickinson, the first federally authorized black military unit, the first South Carolina Volunteers, went to war. In 1863, the 54th Voluntary Massachusetts Infantry provided a bloody frontal assault on Fort Wagner, Charleston, West Virginia. On July 18, 1863, a story boldly told in the movie Glory, starring Denzel Washington. When the Civil War ended, African Americans were recruited for a unit that became known as Buffalo Soldiers, a cavalry regiment based at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. African-American Rough Riders stormed San Juan Hill with Teddy Roosevelt, even stepped in between cattlemen and ranchers in Wyoming's Johnson County War. Still, by 1915, white American doughboys weren't thrilled with black sidekicks. African-Americans believed their service offered a place in society otherwise flatly unachievable. Within a week of Wilson's declaration of war, the Army stopped enlisting black volunteers because their quota was full. Eventually, 350,000 would serve. But racism was everywhere, as was enforced segregation. Still, by the end of the war, the armed forces offered more and varied opportunities for black men than those black men would have found had they never left home. African-American troops served in cavalry, infantry, signal, medical, engineer, artillery units as chaplains, surveyors, truck drivers, chemists, and intelligence officers. Still, often as not, white men refused to salute black officers, and most African-Americans did only the lowliest service jobs. Before the Declaration, W.E.B. Du Bois warned black folks that the First World War wasn't just a white man's war. In an essay titled White Imperialism, Du Bois called that attitude a mistake. The present war in Europe, he wrote, is one of the great disasters due to race and color prejudice, and it but foreshadows greater disasters in the future. Du Bois claimed the war in France and Belgium pitted powers whose major interest was imperialist, conquering and taking control of lands and people they could exploit. That kind of exploitation is only one kind of racial abuse. There's another, Du Bois says. In this way, a theory of the inferiority of the darker peoples and a contempt for their rights and aspirations has become all but universal in the greatest centers of modern culture. That line is 104 years old. But I seem to remember a remarkable American newsmaker just recently wondering aloud why America doesn't recruit more Norwegian immigrants. Why are we having all these people from countries come here, he said. A century later, Du Bois still had it right. For the record, in 2 weeks of intense hand-to-hand combat at Champaign, the 372nd Infantry of the 93rd Regiment, all African Americans, suffered 600 casualties. The French government awarded the entire unit the Cross of War, with 43 officers, 14 non-commissioned officers, and 116 privates receiving either the Cross of War or the Distinguished Service Cross, and there were many more. On 11 November 1918, and 1100 hours, the war ended. African-American troops celebrated, I'm sure, with hugs and shouts of joy and relief, but a price was paid. 53,000 doughboys didn't return. The 92nd Division and the 93rd Divisions, both African-American, suffered more than 5,000 casualties. And when they got stateside, most African-American veterans, battle-weary, walked home into the world of Jim Crow.
This bitter earth